open a public hearing. Well, first of all, this is the Subcommittee on Natural Resources for Thursday, March 22nd, 2007. I will open a public hearing first for House Bill 2101. And as soon as we get a quorum, we will move on to the other bill.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you should have at your place a packet with the bill, a copy of House Bill 2101, a copy of the fiscal impact statement, and a copy of the staff measure summary from the House Committee on Energy and Environment. And I would note that this bill came from the House Committee on Energy and Environment with a referral to Ways and Means and a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk a little bit about this fee adjustment bill, Mr. Chair and members. So this bill is an adjustment to our fee schedule, and I think it's important to note with this particular piece of legislation that it maintains our current program levels. So this adjustments we're asking you to make through this legislation continue the staffing and program levels at their current rate in the agency. So the bill essentially does two things. It does increase fees associated with water right permit applications, transfers, and a variety of other areas in our core program areas. And secondly, it adjusts the fees so that the fee for an application better reflects the difficulty and the time required to process that application. And just a quick example, today you can file a groundwater application for one well or for 17 wells on the same application. And so what this does that we haven't done in the past, this fee schedule, is that it would assess a fee for each other individual well in that application to better reflect the time it takes to do multiples of this nature. As you all know, the water resource situation in the state is demanding a very careful and complex analysis of all the applications we receive. We get about 450 new water right applications each year for a variety of uses, and we also receive about 300 applications to do transfers, that is, moving water from one location to another, each year. So those are the two key and core areas represented in this fee schedule. What this bill would do was it would ensure that we continue to have the adequate resources to keep pace with the workload. And indeed, in our transfer program, as we've discussed earlier in our budget presentations, to begin to reduce the backlogs and continue that trend in backlog reduction. Even with the proposed fee adjustments that this bill represents, application fees still will only cover about one-third of the cost of processing the applications, and as you know from our budget discussions, the remaining costs are covered by general fund. This bill is a continuation of House Bill 2268 from the 2003 session, and at that time we were specifically encouraged to come at regular intervals to you all for fee adjustments rather than waiting 8-10 years as had been historically the practice of the agency. I think it's important to note that the fees adjustments represented in this bill have been discussed over time with our stakeholders, and one of the things that we heard from the stakeholder group was that the fees we charge should reflect the cost of processing those fees more closely than they do today. And as a result, as we've noted earlier, this bill does that. So, Mr. Chair, with that, I would just say that passage of this bill is extremely important to maintaining the department's abilities to process applications and avoid the kind of backlogs that we saw a number of years ago in our water rights program, and to reduce the backlogs in the transfer program. About four FTE are tied to these fee adjustments. And with that, I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
Are there any questions? And I do want to remind everyone, I just came from another committee where they did the same thing. We are going to be out of here by 9:15, and hopefully by that time we will have acted on two items before us.
I don't have any questions.
I've been saved.
Representative Garrard isn't here, so we should be done very quickly.
He doesn't have any questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Warren.
Mr. Chair, I have no questions, so thank you, sir.
I'm going to go to public testimony now. Jerry Smith and Anita Winkler. And if you just please, she has testimony to hand out. I don't see Jerry.
Jerry, just go to set in.
Would you like me to go ahead while we wait for
yes.
Mr. Chair? Chair Devlin and members of the committee, you have been distributed to you some written testimony, and I will point out two things today. One, I'm here with the right testimony at the time I'm testifying, and two, I didn't indicate any level of support for this bill on my sign-in sheet. I am nothing if not teachable. So I'm going to, in the interest of you of brevity, as you have requested, I'm going to skip over the introductory part of this and skip right to the three reasons we support this bill, and we do support it. And we support this bill not based on the amounts of the fee increases, whether we like those or not, but on three principles. And it's basically a reflection of a process that was initiated, and I remember the department referring to this when they were talking about their budget. Several years ago, the department reached an agreement with the stakeholders in some pre-budget hearings or meetings with us to not bring forward a fee increase that was 200%. They had one that had some fee increases of at least that magnitude at the time, and instead bring in step increases over time. It's far easier for our members, and I think for most people in the water world, to handle fees that increase gradually and not get hit all of a sudden with a 200% increase. That was just formidable. And their effort today in front of you reflects exactly that agreement. Secondly, we recognize that the state and the state agencies are subject to the same ongoing increase in costs as the rest of us are, and we believe these fees generally reflect that as the department tries to seek that balance of 30% of their costs being covered by fees. We are part of a coalition. You heard from us about the budget the other day. We've been doing this for several years. We've worked very closely with the department, trying to make sure that they have the funds to do their jobs, and we see these fees as part of that effort, ongoing effort, to give them the resources to do their jobs. The third part is that the department has made an effort on these fee adjustments to look at the cost of doing business of their different activities. I don't think there's been anything arbitrary, but it does reflect the cost, and it does cut across all of their activities, and we support that as well. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions after Mr. Smith? Identify yourself for the record. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Jerry Schmidt. I'm here today representing the Oregon Groundwater Association. We're generally supportive of this issue as well. We had some specific concerns, however, with one portion of the bill that governs multiple points of diversion. And with the chair's permission, I'd like to call one of our members up. He's a GWAC member, Groundwater Advisory Committee. He's a consulting hydrogeologist to give their perspective of an issue with this bill.
That would be fine. If you come forward and please identify himself.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for the record, his name is Greg Capillas. He is a consulting hydrogeologist. Greg.
Thank you, Jerry, for the introduction.
Go ahead and identify yourself.
Okay. For the record, my name is Greg Capillas. I'm a consulting hydrogeologist working out of a home office in Molino. I do a lot of water rights work. I'm a certified water rights examiner in Oregon, a registered geologist, serve on GWAC, as Jerry mentioned. I'm also one of the contractors that's been selected by the Water Resources Department to help them process extensions, transfers, and certificates through the Reimbursement Authority program. I'm not telling you all this just to brag or impress you, but I just want to, I guess, show that I have a lot of experience in water rights, and I can speak with some authority on the subject. I am concerned. I'm here to testify specifically against the portion of this bill that adds a new fee of $200 for each additional use, point of diversion, or point of appropriation included in the application. When the department first came to us on GWAC and presented the concept of the fee increases, the objectives as we understood them are, this is my recollection anyway, I'm not really here representing GWAC, my understanding from our discussion was, of course, they wanted to continue the current service, current level of service that they're providing. They also wanted to be able to make more frequent incremental increases in fees to avoid sticker shock to applicants. GWAC supported the concept, but at that point we hadn't been shown any actual numbers yet. When the numbers finally came out, this particular point here stood out for me. This is a completely new fee, and I think it's going to significantly increase costs for new groundwater applications. The reason for that is because, at least for my clients, we recommend to them that they include in their applications generally several new points of appropriation. Instead of just proposing one well for a groundwater application, we suggest that they propose two or three, sometimes more. This kind of helps them hedge against getting a dry well and then having to put another well in a different location. If they didn't have an additional proposed point of appropriation on that application, they would have to then modify their permit application and so forth. It would lengthen the process. So generally, our clients are submitting groundwater applications with two, three, sometimes four proposed points of appropriation. And just to kind of give you an idea what this represents in terms of a cost increase over the current fee structure, a typical application for us generally involves three wells, usually less than one CFS, so the costs would be, under the current structure, $300 for the base fee plus $200 for the rate fee, so $500 application fee. Under the proposed changes, in that same scenario, three wells, cost would be $700 for the $500 for the base fee plus $200 for the rate fee, so that's $700. Then we would have an additional $200 for each additional well. So if we've got three wells, then that would be $400 on top of the $700 for a total of $1,100. So now we're talking about costs of what it is today at $500, jumping up to, for the same scenario, $1,100. That's a 220% increase. And I would say that if the department is proposing to avoid sticker shock, this is not a way to do that. I'm not opposed to fee increases, but this particular thing, I think, kind of goes beyond, what the original, at least some of the goals in these fee increases were. And I guess I would propose that the department, maybe rework the numbers a little bit. I mean, there's been some discussion of perhaps increasing the base fee and reducing the fee per point of appropriation. I'm not suggesting even that we completely eliminate the fee for additional points of appropriation, but if we could reduce that and make it up somewhere else, I think that might be the way to go. And I think at this point I would entertain any questions.
Okay. Mr. Chair, for a point of clarification, he's talking about line 15 in the bill so that you knew which line he's talking about.
A question, Mr. Smith and Mr. Capellas. You probably both hear my admonition that we're going to conclude today by 9:15. So, was this testimony received at the substantive committee that considered the bill?
We heard from Mr. Schmidt, but not from Mr. Capellas. No.
I gave him the concept that we had some issues with it in the substantive committee, and they said, "Well, we'll wait until we get down here and work it." So.
Okay. That's how I spell it. Representative Dingfelter, do you have any questions?
Yes, I do, because Mr. Pinellas didn't come before a committee. Who typically, could you maybe explain for this committee typically who your clients would be? I know that currently domestic groundwater wells are exempt, so they wouldn't be paying this fee. Could you explain typically who would be paying this one-time fee?
Yes, it would be farmers, nurseries, vineyards, you know, really basically anyone who has to get a water right, and most of our clients are in the ag business of some kind.
Any additional questions? Thank you very
much. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Now we will have Kimberly Priestley and David Moskowitz. And if you both could keep to about 2 to 3 minutes.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is David Moskowitz, here with Kimberly Priestley, who's the Deputy Director of Water Watch of Oregon. We'll keep our points brief. I actually have testimony
that I'll give.
Just as a policy matter, we would urge the subcommittee to ask for the next. The issue that we're concerned about is the cost recovery, the 30% cost recovery. It's simply too low, and this session is perhaps not the time to deal with it, but perhaps as part of the overall budget or admonition or advice to agencies to try to raise that for all natural resource agencies, but particularly for water resources. 30% simply doesn't reflect. It puts the department at a deficit to start with. The issue that just was discussed about fees for additional points of diversion, we support those protest fees for additional points of diversion, especially with the increasing turn towards groundwater. The department has to analyze each one of those diversion requests when there's multiple wells proposed for a single right, and so we would urge that the committee adopt those fees as proposed by the department. The major issue that we are concerned about today is the increase in the protest fee. It's a rise from $250 to $350. Currently the only people who have to pay that fee are third-party interests who protest the decision by the Water Research Department. However, the vast majority of protests received by the department are applicants, or 60% and more. Some of the argument against charging those people for fees is they've already paid into the system. But the application for water right doesn't anticipate the extra analysis that is required once there is a dispute that rises to the level of a protest. The department is leaving a ton of money on the table. Well, not a ton, but a fair amount of money on the table that anyone who protests should pay. So we would support this fee increase if all those who protested had to pay the fee. It's an issue of equity. And I'm going to just briefly ask Kimberly if she has anything, if I've left anything off, and then we're happy to take questions.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Kimberly Priestley, here representing Water Watch of Oregon. David touched on most of the points. I think the one clarification I would make is that, or not clarification, additional point I would make is on the additional fees for the applications for the various points of diversion. While we heard from other folks today that will increase the cost of the application, I think the flip side of that is when the department, you know, when the Water Resources Department gets these applications, it's not the same as looking at one application. I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, if there are 10 points of diversion, it's as if they're looking at 10 applications. I mean, the workload is, as I understand it, is substantially higher because they do. Even though the folks who are submitting this may be hedging their bets, as we heard in earlier testimony, the Water Resources Department, as I understand it, still has to do a full analysis of each point of diversion. So that is why we strongly support those fees. And if there are any questions on any of the other testimony, I'd be happy to answer.
Any additional questions? Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mark. Mr. Ward? This one's going to give you an opportunity to respond to any of the testimony that we've heard.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And for the record, Phil Ward. Again, I guess I'd just say that this fee adjustment bill is a critical component of the department's budget, and that the effort has been made to reflect workload in the fees that you see there. And so certainly we are willing, should it be the committee's pleasure, to discuss modifications. But I think it is important to note that there is significant workload associated, as you just heard, with additional points of diversion.
Would you make sure you comment on the statement regarding a 200% fee increase?
Relative to, I believe, Mr. Chair, Senator Avakian, I believe that was in relation to the additional points of diversion piece. And certainly, when we have never charged for folks who, for example, want us to look at five different well sites on one application, when we've never charged relative to that in the past, you could see a significant increase, as earlier testimony indicated. We would acknowledge that. So it could be potentially as much of that as that kind of level. Again, we're certainly willing to entertain moving back to higher base fees and reducing that amount a little bit if that's the committee's pleasure. But again, what we are attempting to do and what we heard from both our commission and our stakeholders is that your fees need to reflect more accurately the workload. And so that is indeed what this attempts to do. It may indeed result in a 200% increase on an individual application because we've never charged for that additional, looking at that additional well location.
Any additional questions or comments?
Yes.
Phil, how common is it to have multiple diversion points?
Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, as Mr. Capellas indicated, it's become more and more common. As consultants advise the applicants to put additional sites to make sure that they find a site that works. And, you know, that's sound strategy for the applicant, and we certainly don't fault them. It is important to note, though, for every different point of diversion that's requested in an application, that we do indeed have to make the same analysis relative to those different locations. Is it going to injure other water rights? Is there water available? All those routine analysis that we do. So, for example, our groundwater staff, where they may have looked at one point of appropriation in the past, they're now looking at six in the same application for the same fee. Six times the work, essentially.
I just have one quick question.
Yes,
Representative. Thank you. Mr. Ward, question I had is, say you have a landowner that comes to you for a groundwater application, and then 3 years down the road they decide they need to drill another well. And so instead of looking at multiple points of diversion up front, they decide, you know, they're going to wait and see. So currently under the existing system, how would they be charged? Would they be charged as a whole new separate application and have to pay that base fee, which is currently $300, or would that be considered it's the same permit and multiple diversions? So I'm trying to figure out how much they would pay under the existing system versus a new system.
Mr. Chair, Representative, if I understand your question, if they choose to wait and then look at a new location 3 years down the road, then they would be charged the base fee. And if it's just one point in that location, then they'd be charged the base fee. But they would be charged as a new application.
Anything additional? Seeing nothing. Thank you very much, Mr. Ward. And I'll close the public hearing. And I will open a work session on Senate Bill 5512. Thank you, Mr. Sieber. Ms. Dyster. Ms. Dyster will go through the LFO recommendation. Then we will go to any questions and we'll go to the motion.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have a new copy of the LFO recommendations corrected for a typo that was found. So there's nothing that is substantively changed there. Very briefly, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends a budget for the Oregon Department of Energy of $185,437,404 for 07-09. And a total of 88.50 full-time equivalent positions. The LFO recommendation includes approval of the following packages. Package 100, Strategic Program Delivery. We're recommending a total of $1,238,132 other funds and 9.98 FTE. Three of which are limited duration positions for package 100. This is some of these positions in the past have been limited duration. We're recommending permanency for a number of those based upon ongoing workload. We're recommending some new positions based upon the fact that the Department of Energy is seeing a number of additional committees and action work groups and items that they have been asked to staff. And these duties are expected to be ongoing for the foreseeable future. The other portion of this package includes adding some hours to make some positions that are currently part-time to be full-time positions to make them equivalent to 1.0 FTE. And basically for this package 100, you'll notice in your memo, I've kind of gone through those and pretty detailed analysis of what was asked for, what the recommendations are, and the rationale for those recommendations. I'm happy to go over that detail if you would like, but if you'd like to move on because of the time, I'm happy to do that as well. So that's our recommendation for package 100. If there are no questions, I can move on to the others.
Okay. Any questions on package 100? Then we do the three remaining packages.
Okay. Package 101, the governor's energy savings goal, is not anticipated in the co-chair's budget. However, it is we would submit the following budget note for the committee's consideration, and that is that the Department of Energy is encouraged to contract with agencies for energy audits that would be paid from other funds revenue with the goal of generating additional energy efficiency for those state agencies. Should this effort be successful, the department may return to the emergency board to seek limited duration positions and expenditure limitation to conduct these audits on a fee-for-service basis. Package 102, the OMSI loan, $1.5 million is included in the co-chair's budget for payment on the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry loan. The co-chair's expressed a desire for OMSI to work with the Department of Energy on a plan for repaying the remaining balance of the loan. And package 103 is not anticipated in the co-chair's budget. That was the solar schools and energy efficiency improvements in rural schools. Package 801 is a technical adjustment that transfers funds from the Department of Energy to the Office of the Governor for the Energy Facility Siting Council. Apparently, that was inadvertently overlooked in the budget development process. It is a revenue transfer to pay the per diem associated with those positions that are currently housed in the governor's office. So with that, that is the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation in brief.
Questions? Representative Burley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to note that when Ms. Dyster was reading the budget note, recommended budget note under Package 101, I was reading along, and what she read was not consistent
yes.
with what's typed here, so I just want to make sure for the record, I think actually what she read is better because
okay.
it has qualifying language, for example, additional energy efficiency for those state agencies. So I just want to make sure that what you read is what it shows up as the final budget note.
Okay, certainly I can add that in. I was ad-libbing, sorry. Okay.
And also, Mr. Chair, I do want to just register my objection to Package 102 being included at roughly one quarter of what it should be in order to help OMSI out. I'm very concerned about the implications of receiving from audits there's concerns about it remaining an ongoing concern, which would affect its ability to get grants and everything else in its long-term sustainability.
Well, Representative Burley, I can tell you that the chair of the subcommittee is concerned also, and we've been working on some alternatives. Unfortunately, I believe that we have two different routes to go here. One would simply be the $1.5 million payment, which I think would basically keep OMSI basically in the same situation they are now. It would actually cover the debt service for the coming biennium, or pretty close to it, that plus the limited payments that they're making on the debt right now. So we've been looking for other alternatives. The $1.5 million may be enough to pay for the initial cost of another alternative. I've been talking to the treasurer's office. I do not know if we'll be able to convince the co-chairs or the leaderships of the or the membership, to be honest, of the wisdom of that other alternative. But right now, I was asked yesterday, and of course everyone had seen this by yesterday, what was in the co-chair's budget, and I said to people, and I'm being a little bit too frank here, I said, you won't be happy, but you shouldn't be sad either, because because it could have been nothing. And so, I mean, I think this still gives us an avenue to try to address this issue in the remaining months that we have in this session. Any additional questions?
Mr. Chair, not a question, but I would just want to note my agreement with Representative Burley on Package 102. And while I appreciate your description of where the process would go, sometimes an inadequate amount locks everybody in and makes it even harder to get to the moorant. I wonder whether or not an amount of zero at this point is better than 1.5. So, you know, if you've got $80 to pay on your electric bill and you've only got 20, the 20 doesn't help you keep the electricity on. And I don't know how the 1.5 fits with regard to any help for the situation they're in. But I certainly trust your direction on it, Mr. Chair. And just note my concern.
Representative Plan.
I think coming at Package 102 from actually maybe the opposite side, not fully up to speed yet on the co-chair's budget and other priorities that I was looking at, and that's I don't know if they've even released it yet, if they did this morning or they're doing it right now.
They will in about 25 minutes.
So my discomfort around 102 being anything more than zero actually is that I don't have anything to weigh it against yet, and I'm happy to support it, and I understand, but you know, there's a lot of things in the budget that I want to get a look at before spending any general fund dollars that, to me, you know, are discretionary. Otherwise, it would be at 4.6 if it was absolutely mandatory. And so, having said that, that's all I really have on that one.
I think the rest of us want to chime in.
Okay. Oh, Representative Dinkfeld.
Well, I actually have worked with OMSI for over a decade, and I will say I'm disappointed, but I realize we have some tough choices, and I think that I agree with the chair's comments, and we'll try to do the best we can to look at additional sources. I do want to commend the agency on the work that they've done. Senator Avakian and I have been working very closely with the Department of Energy on a number of our policy packages this session, and I just want to say for the record that the agency has done an amazing job with very limited resources, so I'm pleased to see that there are more resources for them to do many of the programs that I think are very well received by this body and by folks around the state, the BEPSI and the RETSI two programs, the Business Energy Tax Credit, Residential Energy Tax Credit, that passed, I think, unanimously in the House and is now over in the Senate. Two programs that provide a lot of benefit and economic development opportunities for the state, in addition, obviously, to expanding our renewable energy resources. So I've worked with the department over the years, and I have to say that they've always been very, very responsive and stretched their already overworked staff. So I am glad to see that they're going to have some more resources to do the work that we're asking them to do.
Yes.
Just to chime in on this, it seemed to me that the testimony we had in the, during the course that the full payment of this was going to basically save millions of dollars down the line. And it just seemed like that was a good investment to make. I realize there's tough choices, but it just seemed like, well, if you have to make that tough choice and you can save millions of dollars down the line, you have to be good.
Yeah.
So I have concerns with the reduction of 102 also.
Okay. Mr. Chairman,
yes.
In a work session, am I able to ask a question of the director? Depending on the question, probably.
Is it?
I wasn't going to be that. Yes, if you'd like to, but we probably need to finish in about 6 minutes. So. Okay.
I just didn't know if there were budget implications to an item that's not in here, but I remember you talking about it, which was there's potential resumptions of, I don't know if it was nuclear waste or chemical weapons or somewhere in your budget. Now you talked about going from a few hundred a year, but due to a recent legal settlement, maybe 10,000 a year into Oregon, which, to be frank, has me really alarmed. But for Ways and Means purposes, I wonder if there are budget implications.
Mr. Chairman, with Clem, I think that those were the shipments of radioactive waste to Hanford. The 10,000, probably not annual, but it would be a substantial increase over period of years. That doesn't
identify
have
yourself again.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mike Graney, Department of Energy. That doesn't have budget implications. We've got the base budget that's been recommended for approval provides us adequate staff for our nuclear safety program to work on radioactive waste issues and to train emergency responders along the shipping routes.
Could maybe somebody come visit my office about that whole deal?
Sure.
And how that works.
Sure, I'd be glad to do that.
If I might clarify one issue about that, there is concern about nuclear shipments coming to Hanford. We would like nuclear shipments to leave
Hanford.
Right.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Exactly.
With that, the first motion that we would have would be a motion to approve Senate Bill 5512 by approving the following changes. You'll find this on the last page of the text pages of the memo. Representative Dinkfelter.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 5512, the Department of Energy's budget, with the changes. Do you want me to read all these?
Yes, they're short enough.
With the following changes, delete line 8. On line 9, delete 2 and insert 1. Line 10, delete $4.6 million and insert $1.5 million. Line 12, delete $20,531,525 and insert $20,397,639. And with those changes, I move the bill. Do pass recommendation.
Oh, there's still some more motions to do after that. That's
right. So we have
motion.
To do the adopt all those changes.
Yes.
Okay.
For the record, so people understand this, on line 10, I was not pleased at all by the change to 1.5. I believe it leaves the door open to actually enter into a discussion to find a better solution. The first motion, is there any additional comments? Yes, Representative Garrard.
I'll be voting no. For that very reason, that I feel that's underfunded, Ramsey.
Well, I may have a problem. Representative Burley, do you have a comment or?
I'll be the same way, Mr. Chair, and I, you know, I have full faith and trust in your rationale and reasoning for doing it, but I feel pretty strongly about this.
Well, we need a co-chair here.
You would like to recess for a second?
Yes,
I'll see
I'm
what I
recess.
Can do.
On House Bill 2101, we have a motion on the floor to approve the items that are listed on the final page of the text portion of of LFO's memo. I won't repeat that. After that, we will go to a motion on the performance measures, and then we will go to a motion to forward it to the full committee. So on the first motion, which is approving the adjustments to the bill, and I believe that would probably include the budget note also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are there any objections, or would the please call the roll.
What's that?
No, I don't want to.
Do you want me to do that? Okay. Let's see. Representative Dingfelder.
Aye.
Representative Nolan.
Aye.
Representative Garrard.
No.
Representative Burley.
No.
Representative Clem.
Aye.
Senator Nelson.
No.
Senator Avakian.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to give you a courtesy. I vote on this because of the package 102, and I would encourage the co-chairs to give full funding for that. I won't give you a lengthy speech, but the reason is I see OMSI as a real supplement to the public education system for children, and that needs to be fully funded.
And Chair Devlin.
Aye. Motion passes. Brief explanation of the performance measures.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you will notice LFO has a couple of recommendations with regard to the performance measures. Chief among them is to adjust targets for measure number 2 to reflect incremental emission savings associated with the productivity of new positions implementing renewable Betsy projects, both solar and wave projects, those new permanent positions. And the savings will be from 3.39, I believe it's million tons, to 4.22 million tons in 2008, and from 3.56 million tons to 4.39 million tons in 2009. The other recommendations LFO is making have to do with return on investment targets, adjusting those upwards in Measure 5 to based on actual performance that was experienced in 2005 for the following programs. Betsy, moving that target from $400 to $750. RETSI from $50 to $80. And the SEED program from $30 to $65.
A motion to approve the performance measures.
Mr. Chair, I move a motion to adopt performance measures as summarized in the attached worksheet.
Okay. Are there any objections to the performance measures? Hearing no objections, the motion passes. Final motion, Representative Dingfelder.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 5512 to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. People have already made a lot of comments. I just want to tell you all that I'm continuing to work with the co-chairs on a solution for OMSI. I do believe that there is a solution out there that hopefully both the co-chairs and OMSI will buy into. But I'll just leave it at that at this particular point. Call the roll on my main motion.
Okay. Vice Chair Dingfelder.
Aye.
Representative Nolan.
Aye.
Representative Garrard.
No.
Representative Burley.
No.
Representative Clem.
Aye.
Senator Nelson.
No.
Senator Avakian.
Aye.
Chair Devlin.
Aye. Motion passes. I will carry it to full. I will carry it to the Senate floor, and Representative Dingfelder will carry it to the House.
Okay.
And with that, we are adjourned today. Thank you very much for your excellent presentation before the committee, and thank your staff for being here and there.
Thank you.